What a question for us to ask ourselves this evening. Have we been to Jesus? Have we been washed in the blood of the Lamb? This is the question that comes home to every heart this evening in this room. We heard earlier this week, I think it was on Sunday evening, Brother Mark mentioned that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, is the Savior, that Christ receives sinners, that Christ is the Savior of sinners. Tonight, that thought has been ringing in my ear, and we want to look this evening at a verse that would remind us, in a passage of Scripture, that would remind us that He is not only the Savior of sinners, but He receives sinners. To think that the very Son of God this evening says to each one of you, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." See, the Lord Jesus is inviting you tonight. Maybe you're here and you've never received the gospel. You've never embraced it as your own. You've never accepted the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you're here tonight and you've been struggling and there's things going on in your life and you've been back and forth and you've been struggling with something in your life. Maybe you're a young person who has one foot in the things of God and one foot in the things of this world. And I'm here to tell you that that doesn't work. It's like being in one foot in one canoe and one foot in another canoe, and you know what's going to happen. It doesn't work. And so we want to invite you this evening. We want to turn to a very familiar passage of Scripture. And my text this evening is Luke chapter 15. And I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 15. And we want to see this evening that Christ receives sinners. And as I think of that, I want to begin actually in chapter 14, Luke chapter 14, and the last verse of chapter 14, and the last sentence of chapter 14, verse 35. And it says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This means two things. As I look at my audience tonight, I see that every one of you have two ears. You have ears to hear. But it also means something else. It also means that you have to be willing to hear the Word of God coming through those ears and receive it into your soul. And as we think of this then, we read in chapter 15, verse 1, "Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to Him," drew near to the Lord Jesus Christ, "to hear Him." They drew near to Him in order to hear Him. And tonight I wonder, are you far from Him? Are you far from the Lord Jesus Christ? You may be at a distance from Him, but listen, dear friend, you need to understand that He's not far from you. Salvation is near. Salvation is near. And as we think of these verses, that the tax collectors, those who were despised because they were in cahoots with the Romans, and they were doing business with the Romans, and they were charging the Jewish people more than what was due to them, and they were taking that for themselves, and so they were despised, a despised people. But then it says, not only the tax collectors, but the sinners, those who were morally corrupt, those who others knew, and they looked at them, and they knew that they were not right with God, and they knew that something was wrong in their own souls. These were people, individuals, who were looking for something. They were searching for something, and they came to hear the Lord Jesus. There may be some in this room tonight. Maybe you've been searching. Maybe you've been have a void in your heart, and you've been trying to fill that void with different things. And maybe you're a young person, and you grew up in the assembly, you grew up in a Christian home, but that wasn't quite enough. And you're going out, and you're trying to fill that void that you feel. You're trying to fill it with other things. We want to tell you that truly, only Christ will satisfy. Only He can fill that void. It's been said that each one of us, as human beings, we have a God-shaped vacuum in our souls. And it can only be filled by the Spirit of God through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, when you accept Him as your Lord and Savior. So the tax collectors and the sinners came to hear the Lord Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes, they complained. But listen to what they said. They said something that was so true. They said something that was an actual fact. This is what they said. They said, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." This man receives sinners and eats with them. The word receive, it means that this man welcomes sinners. What an invitation. What a word for us tonight. That Christ, yes, He's the Savior of sinners, and He receives sinners. And He invites you tonight to come to Him. And He's standing here this evening, and He is inviting you to come to Him. Christ receives sinners. He welcomes you. Listen, young person, it doesn't matter what you've done. It does not matter where you've been. It doesn't matter how far away you've gotten. Christ will receive you back if you repent. If you call upon His name tonight. If you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you turn from your ways, it's repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Christ receives sinful men. Christ, my Savior, will receive you tonight. Isn't that good news? As we read on in this portion of Scripture, the Lord Jesus wanted to underline this fact. The Lord Jesus wanted to make it clear that He is one who receives sinners, that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He wanted to make this very clear. And so He tells a parable, and the parable has three parts. And the first part of that parable, three stories within the parable. And the first part of that parable, we read here, "So He spoke this parable to them. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after it and go after the one which is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep which was lost." I say to you that likewise that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. This is the first part of this parable. And the Lord Jesus tells us about this sheep that has gone astray. And it reminds us of the condition of every one of us outside of a relationship with God the Father through God the Son. Is that the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We, every one of us, have turned our own way. And when did this happen? We could go all the way back to the book of Genesis in chapter 3. And we could be reminded tonight that this happened when one man disobeyed God. And through the disobedience of one man, sin entered the world. And death is spread to all men because all have sinned. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And the book of Genesis tells us in chapter 3 that when that sin entered the world, and it entered because of Adam's disobedience, and when sin entered the world, you know, three things happened right at that moment. When Adam sinned against God, fear gripped his heart. Guilt consumed him. And shame covered him. Those three things. Fear, guilt, and shame. The world never knew those three things until sin. Till disobedience brought sin. And sin brought death. And death brought those three things. Fear, guilt, and shame. I ask all of us, are you here tonight and you have a secret sin in your life and maybe no one else knows about it, but you know, and God knows, and you're afraid. Someone's going to find out. I'm telling you tonight, on the authority of God's word, somebody already knows. And that's a holy, righteous God. And you're afraid. Maybe you're here tonight. You're not where you ought to be in your relationship and your walk with God. And you're here this evening. And there's a sin in your life. And guilt just continually and constantly consumes you. Maybe you're here tonight. And there's shame in your heart. And you're ashamed because of the sin that's in your life. I want to tell you, on the authority of God's word, that Christ receives sinners. Christ receives sinners. Sinners. You see, it says that he goes out. He not only receives sinners, but it says that he's seeking those who are lost. He's seeking. The Bible says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, what the Lord Jesus does is that shepherd is that he seeks the sheep that is lost, that sheep that is wandering. And tonight, dear friend, I'm here on the authority of God's word to tell you He is seeking you. He is seeking you. Young person, you don't have to live with this shame and this fear and this guilt. A holy God tonight, through His loving Son, is seeking you so that you could be in a right relationship with Him. He seeks and He saves that which was lost. And then He places the sheep upon His shoulder. Isn't that beautiful? And the sheep is right there. I picture it in my mind that the sheep, two legs here, and the sheep's head's here, and the sheep is just bleeding into the shepherd's ear. And maybe the sheep is, maybe you as a wandering sheep, maybe you need to bleed and just speak into the shepherd's ear and tell him tonight you're sorry. Tell him tonight you want to confess your sin. Tell him tonight that you know that you're not where you ought to be, but you want to confess that sin. You want to repent and you want to turn. Repentance is I agree with what God's word says about my sin, and I want to make that U-turn, and I want to come back to God. That's repentance. Repentance toward God. I want to put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here tonight, and you just need to speak into the Savior's ear. Tell him, forgive me. Tell him, I confess my sin. I know that those places I go on the internet is wrong. I know that this sin that's in my life is wrong. I know that I've been away from you. And I know that you're patient and you want me to come back to you. And tonight's the night I'm going to come back. Just speak that into the ear of the shepherd. As we think about this shepherd, you know, the sheep is a wandering sheep. It's a lost sheep. I think of how the Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, tells us there that if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ should shine upon them. You see, what the devil wants to do tonight, the enemy of your soul, the enemy of God and the enemy of your soul, what he desires to do tonight is to keep you in darkness. He desires to put a veil over your eyes. He desires that you not see that the glory of God is shining in the face of Jesus Christ. What the enemy of your soul wants to do is to keep you in this misery of sin. What the enemy of your soul wants to do is to keep bombarding you with guilt and shame and fear. But the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. As I think of this sheep that's wandering, I think of the fact that it's not only lost, it's not only straying away, but it's also in tremendous danger. A sheep left to itself, you know, there's enemies that go about. There's enemies of a sheep that go about, a wolf or a lion or whatever it might be. I want to tell you, young person, you have an enemy. He goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And you are in danger. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you were to breathe your last tonight, you are in danger of going to a Christless eternity, an eternity without any of the blessings that God has given us, because you do not know His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only would this sheep be in danger, but I would say also that this sheep would be helpless. You know, a sheep really doesn't have any kind of, you know, a sheep doesn't have horns to defend itself. A sheep doesn't have anything to be able to defend itself. A sheep left to a predator is pretty much helpless unless the shepherd comes along. And this is what we read in the Word of God. We read that for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. We go on to read, but God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. So if you're here tonight and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, I have the privilege of telling you that Christ died for you. The Bible says, if we don't know Christ as our Savior, we're ungodly. We're outside the blessings of God. We're without God. And we're without hope. We're ungodly. But that's exactly who Christ died for. Those who will acknowledge that they need a Savior that receives sinners. Will that be you tonight? Will you acknowledge that you are in need of a Savior? That you are in danger of going to a Christless eternity and you are helpless? You cannot defend yourself against such an enemy? And not only that, that you are perishing. That sheep left out in the wilderness by itself would be perishing. But we care for the dying. We want you to know tonight, you don't have to perish in your sin. What the Bible says is that he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God shall abide on him. This is what the Word of God says. But you don't have to stay underneath the wrath of God. You see, the Lord Jesus came. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible goes on to say that God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him it might be saved. But listen to this. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in Him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And listen, and this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. We're sinners by nature, and we're sinners by practice. Do you love your sin? You want to stay in your sin? That love for that sin will take you to a Christless eternity. And a Christless eternity means that the wrath of God will be over you for all eternity. We plead with you tonight. Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. But I want to tell you something. I'm here as an ambassador. And I'm pleading with you. Be reconciled to God. But God does not plead with you. God commands men everywhere to repent. This is what the Bible says. God is not a pleading God. God has given you the invitation. God has set it out through His Son. God has said, whosoever will may come. And I'm pleading with you tonight to come. But God does not plead. God commands men everywhere to repent, to turn, to agree with God. No longer to live in fear and shame and guilt, but to agree with God and say, I know that my life right now is not what it ought to be, and I'm turning to God. See, the next parable that we have, the next part of this parable, I should say, is that a woman loses a coin. And she lost a coin. And she searches. And she sweeps the house. And this, dear friend, is a picture of what the Holy Spirit is doing right now at this very moment. The Holy Spirit is searching your heart right now. At this very moment, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you tonight. You know who you are. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. The Holy Spirit is searching your heart. And I wonder who here tonight would be like the psalmist in Psalm 139. Who here tonight would be like that psalmist and would say, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Search my heart, try me, and know my anxieties, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me to the way of everlasting. See, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you tonight through the Word of God. And you know He's speaking to you. You know you're under conviction right at this moment. The Holy Spirit is convicting you of sin, of judgment, and of righteousness. What is your response? He that has an ear, let him hear. What is your response? The next part of this story, the next part of the parable, is about a son. We don't have time to read the whole thing, but I just want to capsulize it and give it to you because I believe that it represents some that's in this room tonight. This son came to his father and said, give me everything that's coming to me. Give me my inheritance. In other words, Dad, I wish you were dead so I could get my inheritance. So the father gave both of his sons. He had two sons. He gave both of them the inheritance that was coming to them. And the one son takes it and he squanders it. And he takes it into the far country. We call him the prodigal son. He goes into the far, prodigal means wasteful. He goes into the far country and he spends all that he had. And he wastes that which was given to him. There are those of you in this room tonight, and you've been given so much. You've been given gifts, abilities. Have you been using those for the Lord? Are you squandering them in the world? Living in the far country. Thinking that the world offers you something so much better. This man came to the end of himself. After things have run out, we know the story, he was feeding the pigs, and he was about to, for a Jewish fellow to feed pigs would be really distasteful, defiling. In other words, he's down in the gutter, as we say. He hit rock bottom. And he was about to eat the food of the swine. And then he says to himself, My father's servants have it better than I do. I'm going to rise up. I'm going to go to my father. I'm going to say, Father, I have sinned against you and against God, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. He gets up and he starts heading back. He has this speech all planned out. Maybe he was reciting it along the way. Maybe he was doing like some of us do. Now, what's the best way to say this so that I can, maybe if I say it like this, maybe that. And so he goes to his father. You know, we call this story the story of the prodigal son, right? I don't think that's a very good title. Because really, I think this story ought to be called the story of a loving father who's just waiting. Who's just waiting for his son to come home. I love this story because, it reminds me of me. Because I was one of those. I love this story also because it says that the father sees his son afar off. You know what that tells us? He was waiting for his father to, waiting for his son to return. Perhaps every day, the father looked down the road, looked down the lane, waiting, looking out the window, looking out the front porch, looking, waiting. And maybe he sees a silhouette on the horizon and he sees someone coming and he says, oh, could it be? Could it be? Is he coming today? Is he coming home? Could it be? No, that's somebody else. No. And then maybe he sees another silhouette and he says, oh, that's got to be him. Maybe his heart started to beat as a father's heart does. And he sees. And one day he looks out and he sees his son coming. And he knows that's his son. He sees the gait. He recognizes the walk. He recognizes the stride. He knows that is his son. And he runs down the lane. And he covers him with kisses. And really what it means when it says he kissed him, it means that he covered him with kisses. He didn't stop kissing him. You know what that tells us? It's a beautiful picture. Young person. Older one. It's a beautiful picture of what a loving father, God himself, is offering you tonight. Maybe you've sinned against him. Maybe you're living in shame and fear and guilt. You've sinned against the holy God and you know that your lifestyle is not what it ought to be for someone who says they're a Christian. Maybe you've been in the far country. Or maybe you're just starting out on the far country and you're starting to slide away from God. And the Father is just waiting for you to turn, repent, come back to Him. You know what I love about this story? The son has his speech all recited in his thoughts. And he starts to say, Father, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against God. What is that? That's confession. And he says, I'm not worthy to be called. And before he could get it all out, the father shows his love, his grace, and his mercy. And dear one, tonight, God is willing. My Bible tells me that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all men come to repentance. My Bible tells me that God is long-suffering and he's waiting. But my Bible also tells me that God says, my spirit shall not always strive with men. Don't take the patience of God for granted. Come today. Make no delay. Come home today. The rest of this story, this third story, reminds us that the father calls his servants and says, listen, I want you to kill the fatted calf. It reminds us of the work of Christ in order to make this possible. The work of Christ has to be brought in. He says that I want you to put the robe on him. No longer those dirty clothes. Imagine how he's coming back to the father. Imagine the filthy clothes, the garments that he has on. He says, I want you to clothe him with the best robe. Bring it out. Bring that family robe out. Put it on him. Bring that ring, that signet ring, the family ring. Bring it out, put it on him. My son, who was dead, is now alive. He's returned. And the father was rejoicing. You know, as we think about each of these different parts of this one parable, in every section, we see joy. Joy, rejoicing in heaven. One more thing that the father brings out. The father says, bring out and put shoes on his feet. You see, slaves in a house, the servants in the house didn't wear shoes. Only the son wore shoes. He says, I want you, my son that was dead is now alive, and I want him to wear sonship shoes. I want everyone to see he's been brought back into a place of dignity, into a place of privilege. Maybe you're away from the Lord right now. Maybe you have gone far away, but he's calling you back. He's inviting you back. He's saying, return to me. I don't want you to be in the pig pen of this world. I want to set you in a place of dignity, honor, and privilege. I want you to understand that I've blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want you to understand the blessings of being not only a child of God, born into the family of God, but I want you to understand the blessings that you are a son of God. And this is for each and every one in this room. It's what God offers you tonight through the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ is the Savior of sinners. So if you're a wandering sheep tonight, there's an invitation for you. The shepherd the Lord Jesus Christ, that shepherd that loves the sheep and has given his life on Calvary for the sheep. He laid down his life for the sheep, John 10 tells us. And that shepherd that laid down his life for you on Calvary's cross so that you might have life offers it to you tonight. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God is searching your heart tonight. Will you say to Almighty God tonight, will you say, search me, O God. Search me. I'm tired of living in this shame. I'm tired of living in fear. And I'm tired of this guilt because of my sin. I want to lay it down at the cross. Will you come tonight? And if you're away from the Lord, maybe you've named the name of Christ one time in your life. Maybe you accepted him at one point in your life. Maybe you made a profession. And yet you're away from the Lord. Things have gotten in the way. And you're living a life that's not glorifying to him. Will you be like this young man in this story tonight and say, I'm going home. I'm going back to my Father. He's waiting for you. We're going to sing softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. And he's calling tonight, O sinner, come home. And as you sing this song, I want us to sing it almost as a prayer. I want us to sing it heartfelt. And I want you to ask yourself, am I ready to come home? Let's sing softly, tenderly. pray. I'm going to pray for you. And if you're here tonight, and you're away from the Lord, tonight's the night for you to get right with Him. Tonight's the night. If you've never met Him as your Lord and Savior, if you never confessed your sin, if you never confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believed in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, if you've never done that, dear friend, tonight's the night for you. And if you're away from the Lord, come home. After I pray, brothers and sisters, you're saved and you're going to heaven, but there are those in this room who are not. And I'm going to ask that we leave quietly. We're dealing with souls. We're dealing with souls in this room that are not right with God. We're going to leave quietly. As much as we can coming down those stairs, we're going to file out quietly, talk out in the hall. We're going to let the Spirit of God do the work that He's been doing. We're going to take this serious tonight. Let's pray. Blessed Father, salvation is of the Lord. And only You tonight can convict souls of their need of a Savior. We pray that You would do Your work. It is only the Holy Spirit tonight that can cause conviction in the heart, that there might be conversion in the soul. And we ask that You would do the work this evening. We think of any that might be here tonight who've never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we pray tonight that they might take the things of God serious. And we pray for any in this room that might be consumed with guilt and fear and shame because of sin in their life. We pray You would speak to their hearts. Give them a holy boldness, Father, to stay behind and to deal with this tonight. We pray. Put a holy hush in this room. Cause us. Cause us to take the work of salvation serious, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.